Now, the second reading is again from the letter of James. This is New Testament wisdom literature. This is a pastor telling his folks, this, you've got to change your life. Don't listen to those people who say faith without works. Listen to Paul. He never says that. You know, faith without works means what? I'm a Sunday Catholic. I go to, and I put my $10 in. I've got it made. You know, you do? Do you cheat at your business? Are you faithful to your wife? Do you watch pornography on the TV? Or the other thing? The computer? I mean, does your faith animate your culture? Can anybody look at you and say, that guy's a Christian, that woman's a Christian? Not because you're rattling your rosary beads and looking pious, but because of the authenticity of your life. That's why. So, this is James now. For where jealousy and so selfless ambition exist, there is disorder and every foul practice. That's a large part of American business. It never used to be like that. When I lived in Europe, the Europeans who had been into this disorder for a long time used to smile. Some in mockery, but more in admiration. American business. They pay their debts. They don't cheat. There was a time when this was true. Then came the great discovery, Enron. Many, many, I don't know how many years ago, now 10 or 12. And all of a sudden, the veil was taken off. The corruption in American business. Everybody wants money. That's why scriptures say money is the root of all evil. And the word in Greek for avarice is pleonexia, which means the desire always to have more. Can you imagine a guy with a fortune of $2 billion, still trying to get more money out of his company when he's not even paying his own people enough money? He's worth $2 billion. If he started now to spend all that, he would be dead before he finished. Even if he bought 50 homes and lived in one each week, he couldn't spend all that money. But you see, if you don't know the Lord, if you don't know His love, at the other end of the spectrum, look at St. Francis of Assisi. He wouldn't even touch money. Somebody once gave him a little bag of gold, whoosh, he threw it right on the dung heap. Don't let me touch that stuff. You see the difference? I'll just trust God. Did he have a hard time? Of course he had a hard time. Everybody does. But he was, as everybody says, probably the saint who most resembled Jesus. You know? And he was a happy guy. He stayed away from all of this. Even they thought at the end of his life he was too impractical. So they moved him out and put another guy in charge of the order. Of course he was heartbroken, but he wasn't crushed. You know, he lived for God. And so Brother Elijah put some order in the order. I guess he improved it. I don't know how many other guys would have been able to live just like St. Francis, but I remember this, that I was walking in the woods myself, and I was thinking of St. Francis. He had holes in his hands and feet. He'd been moved out of leadership in the order that he founded. A whole bunch of people thought he was just too radical. Nobody can live like that. You know, that's good for you, Francesco, but for the rest of us, we need a little bit more, you know. Brokenhearted that they didn't get it. So what was he doing in the woods? He had two little sticks and he was playing the violin and singing because he was so full of the joy of the Lord. You see? So that's what's being said here, you see? Now this is a description of his wisdom. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, not in the wrong sense of compliant, you know? Full of mercy and good fruits, without inconstancy or insincerity. That's wisdom. Well, we have some great examples in our generation. Huh? That's John Paul II. And he wasn't doing this in a corner. He was the Pope. And he had to deal with a huge empire that would love to unseat him. Probably paid for the guy that tried to kill him. you know, he wasn't naive, but he had purity of heart. And what he wanted was to know the Lord and serve the Lord, be united with the Lord forever, and the rest would fit in. You see, and so James is saying, if you don't put God first, you're going to be a pain in the neck to yourself and everybody else. And you might make $2 billion or $10 billion, you'll still be unhappy and frightened. Whereas at the other end, there's not only St. Francis, there's lots of people. Mother Teresa was like this. Padre Pio was like this. They didn't have anything and they didn't need anything. Okay. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who cultivate peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Why? Because they'll look just like God. They'll be called the children of God to make peace. That's not the same as being just a nice guy. Oh, well, let's let bygones be bygones. And no. You see, the work of justice is peace. Opus justitiae pax. So that has to be, but it's a justice that honors the truth of every relationship. It's not just the justice that lets you pay back somebody else for what they did, because there's a higher justice, God's justice. You forgive. If God gives you justice, you're sunk. God gives you forgiveness, and you're supposed to perpetuate that. I've told you before about that group of Germans, theologians. Bonhoeffer was one of them. They had a seminary. They went down south to get away from Hitler. They thought maybe he'd ignore them. They were down there. And they tried to build a Gemeinschaft, a community. Well, they're all German thinkers. So what are they going to do? They're going to figure out, well, what's the foundation for a community? You know what they figured out? Forgiveness. When they got there, they said, well, that makes sense. We're the community of the forgiven, so we just perpetuate our nature. But leave it to some good, smart Germans to like articulate it for us, you see? Now, where do wars and where do the conflicts among you come from? Is it not from your passions that make war within your members? You're at war within yourself. You want this, but you want to be popular. You want to stomp on everybody, but you want them to like you. You know, there was a famous psychiatrist actually, Karen Horney, who said, you know, this drive, the only way you're going to be accepted if you're the top of the heap. Only way you get to the top of the heap is to stomp on everybody. So you're in a dilemma. You stomp on everybody, how are they going to like you? If you don't stomp on everybody, they like you, but you're not the top of the heap. How do you get over all that? Imitate Jesus Christ. And define for yourself where the top is and what the heap is. And then you'll see. The top of the heap is what? Eternal union with the Trinity forever. That's the top of the heap. Imposing your will on everybody else, that's not the top of the heap. That happens mostly with frightened people. Okay. Where do the wars and where do the conflicts among you come from? Is it not from your passions that make war against your members? You want power, you want money, you want pleasure, you want everybody to like you. But you want to be at the top. Not because you deserve it, but because you can stomp at everybody else and get there. And then you wonder why you don't wonder. You know why they don't like you. You can't have it all. You can have it all. You can have peace, you can have friends, if you live like Jesus. It's very simple. See, where do the wars come from? Conflicts, your passions. That means your emotions, you see. All the drives that push us to be the top of the heap, to be rich, to be powerful, and to have all the pleasure in the world, food, sex, whatever. Travel all the time. You know, take a 2 or 3 week trip to Europe every summer. Do you need that? Do you really need that? What about a week at the beach and give the money to the poor? What's wrong with that? Do you really need all that? Or is it kind of your way of asserting, I'm better than most people, I got all this money? This is what he's worrying about, right? Your passions. You covet, but do not possess. Go to some meetings, board meetings of businesses and watch the jealousy. He's making $100,000 more than I am. You know, it's great to meditate on what's the last end of man anyway. What is the deepest drive in our being is for what? It's for union with God. So St. Thomas, the very first part of the second part, he divides his summa into three parts. The first part of the second part, first five questions are, well, what's happiness? And they're brilliant. Is it in money? He said, no, basically, what can you do with money? Buy food and put it in a hole in your head. You know, I mean, that's basically what you can do with money. It can't be your happiness. It's under you. Is it honor? No. Because honor is in the one honoring. Excellence is in the one honored, if it is. But if you don't have excellence and you're looking for honor, you're just looking for metaphysical frustration. You don't deserve the honor. And so he goes through them all. Is it pleasure? Is it honor? Is it money? You see? And he says, no, it can't be. By the very nature of the greatness of our spirit, we are made for God. These things will not, happiness cannot, you see, do it. So he says, you covet what you don't possess. You kill in envy what you cannot obtain. You could murder and take somebody's house and money. You're not going to be happy. That's not what happiness is all about. And this is metaphysical, my friends. This is not just pious. Oh, if you're pious, you do this. And if you're not, you do that. No. If you've got any brains, you do this. It's the only way to happiness. Just listen to the Son of God. Teach us what happiness is. And he ought to know. He made us. In the operator's manual, right here, the Bible. And so, you fight and wage war. You do not possess because you do not ask. Lord, I need $5,000 to fix up my living room. Be such a help to my wife. Well, talk to God about it. That's possible. I'm going to tell you a quick joke about a fellow in the synagogue. And he was all the time asking God, I want to win the lottery. Lord, help me. I want to win the lottery. One day a voice came and said, Herman, yes, Lord. It would help if you bought a ticket. You got to work, you see, but it's up to the Lord. You do not possess because you do not ask. You ask but do not receive. Why? Because you ask wrongly. You only wanted to spend it on your passions. You're going to make yourself worse if I give you all that money. Instead of being a pain in the neck the way you are now, you're going to be 50 times worse. Forget me and die a stranger. And if you're enough of a stranger, you're going to stay that way forever. Is that worth your money? To have a lot of money and do that? No. No. As a priest now 55 years, who dies peacefully? Those who have tried to serve the Lord, forgive others, be good to them, whether they be rich or poor, and honor God and honor others, they die peacefully. Because the Lord is there. That's what we pray, isn't it, to Our Lady? Now and at the hour of our death. Pray for us. Now and at the hour of our death. When you see a peaceful person die, you know that they've tried to honor God in their life.